Well, we rushed around this morning, and like it usually is, we was the first ones here, and we couldn't help but think about Mary Magdalene. And when parents come in, I told them, I said, I checked, and the tomb's empty. I'm thankful that we truly do serve a risen Savior. If you want to, you can turn to the 20th chapter of John, the first verse. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. I'm sure that, no doubt, a portion of this will be read on thousands of churches this morning, anyone that would have a sunrise service. But we's wanting to read this and just think about what the Lord has done for us and what He's going to do for us. Now, the Bible says here, "And the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." We can read a little further, and it says, "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him." We were thinking about that, and was just reading here that we're given an important detail here. It says, "When it was yet dark, Mary Magdalene come to the sepulchre." And we see that by the events that she seen there, that she was troubled. She didn't have a full understanding of what was taking place. She ran to those that she felt close to, Simon Peter, and to say that they have taken the Lord. And you know, if we would put ourselves in that position, it's a reasonable thing to think that, look, they can't even leave His body alone. Look what they've done to Him. And let us think about in a few hours, you know, each and every one of us that are born again, we have a personal relationship to Jesus Christ, but these physical eyes have never seen Him. But this here is, we're talking about a group of people that lost someone that they dearly loved. But this, as a lot of us have in the past, experienced the loss of a loved one. But this was more than just a loved one. This was God in the flesh. When they seen Him and they'd hear, have you ever been around somebody, maybe a preacher? I know I've done it in the past. I'd be preaching in the Lord, I'd give me a thought that I'd never thought of, and I don't know what my face looks like. If you can tell that a light's coming on, this was a man, but much more than a man. And when he would expound such wonderful truths, it was never like a light come on, because he was God. Bless your heart. And He brought such comfort to those that were sick. He brought such healing to those that were affirmed. He brought such soothing words to those that fished along the Sea of Galilee. And they knew that He was much more than a man. And then to think about having Him taken away, and to think about how dark of a time it truly must have been to wake up there in the morning and to see your Savior and to walk up to Him and Him tell you some wonderful truth. And that just went on for near 3 years. And then to have Him stripped from you and to think of what a dark time it was. And to think about though that He was the Son of God, maybe I had a misunderstanding. Maybe I thought His kingdom was going to be set up right here on this earth. And to see Him leave and to think of what the Roman soldiers, how the Jews turned Him over to Pilate and all that took place there. Would it not be a reasonable thing to think that they could not just leave the body of my Jesus alone and leave that empty tomb on a dark morning and think they've taken it away? I got up this morning at 3:30 and I got to think about stars. We did a little bit of what I saw me when yesterday, but I thought about what Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, how they must have felt when they woke up before sunrise. They had reason to get out of the bed because they wanted to go decorate the body of Jesus Christ. I don't know. I'm sure they knew that there was a stone rolled in the way. But they were going in faith thinking, well, if I can't decorate his body, I'll decorate outside of the stone. And when they come and see the roll away, I don't know, maybe Mary said, thanks be to God, the Lord God Jehovah, for he's made a way in which I can decorate this wonderful prophet, this Son of God. And then to look in that tomb and see it empty, and it make your heart sing. We rejoice this morning because we know we serve a risen Savior. Mary Magdalene didn't have that figured out quite yet. And I begin to think about the dark times that the Bible speaks about in Amos. Some would say the day of the Lord is, as it were, a day of light. But the Bible teaches me that it'll be a day of darkness. If we live in the last days, this very hour, there's a lot of people that's going to be seeing in the darkness these things, as it were, a tomb empty. But God's children knows that it is a day of light. Although we are in darkness, there is a sunrise coming. And I serve him today with the assurance and the peace and knowing that he's coming again, that he didn't raise from the grave to leave this world and to leave me a new vow of sales. Glory be to God. But he sent his comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in the hearts of man. But you, yeah. Oh, one would say, surely that's sufficient enough. But the Bible teaches me, thanks be to God, that we serve a God who has promised us a physical resurrection. Bless your heart. There's a lot of people, I'm afraid, if you probably polled a lot of church-going folks, there's probably about 6 or 7 out of 10 that if they had the opportunity to go to heaven, they'd say, well, could I wait maybe 25 years? But I know that I'm not just going to be some spirit floating around there. But when the Bible teaches me that when the church, or rather when Christ comes for the church, he's coming back for a body just like Jesus Christ was raised that glorious birthday of the week, that we can raise in the newness of life to go and to be able to experience all the joys in a new glorified physical body. And I'm thankful of that. I'm thankful that though it must have seemed so dark for the disciples, for the women that followed after Jesus Christ, as they watched from a distance. The Bible speaks about the women watched from a distance. We knew that Jesus' mother was right there, close enough that Jesus Christ could look at her in the face and then look at his one disciple, John, and say, behold, thy mother. But no doubt there were so many others that were looking and watching from afar off. And then in the darkness, the morning come to the tomb, and not realizing what great significance this was. Maybe you are here today and you don't fully comprehend what this empty tomb means. Because the tomb is empty, he can fill your heart. He raised that third day. He can live with you this very hour. Because the stone was rolled away, and he unwrapped himself from those grave clothes, I can raise with him again. Because
I'll raise him before the noon before, as it were, of the sunrise, of the sun rose before the sunrise. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? And because that he rose, I can raise with him. And regardless of how dark it might be, might the Lord give us spiritual eyes this very day to know that we too can experience victory with him. I don't know. The only thing that I search through the scripture that no doubt would cause God's children to rejoice as much as his resurrection will be ours. Will be if we would be fortunate enough or blessed to live in my generation when he comes and he splits the eastern sky. I don't know how dark it'll be that morning, but I imagine it'll be dark, just as dark as when he rose from the grave. No doubt his children's hearts will be heavy, but if we look to him, we can see him coming in from the east. I've been in some pretty good services where I felt like my feet weren't touching the ground. There's coming a day, glory be to God, that his children, when they see him, they're going to feel like that. But when they look around, they'll see that they're not. That their feet aren't touching the ground. Because this earth's gravitational pull will never more hold us down. But the sun that we have served these many years, because the tomb is empty, will be calling us home, and we can rejoice and know that forever and forever. And that's why I serve my Savior, because he raised. We come here, and there's a piece of paper stuck in the door, and we haven't fully read it. But it's signed the fourth person of the Godhead. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I only thought there was three. But anyway, it goes on to say that I thought, first off, when I started reading it, that they were a seven-day Adventist. And I thought, isn't that befitting? That here we read that on the first day of the week that Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb and she sees a risen Savior, not at this point, but when she comes back, and that we would have that stuck in the door. They were talking about the Sabbath, and I thought, oh, well, I've heard this before. But then it began to say that they worship on the Sabbath according to the moon, and they've got some kind of mathematical equation about how that you're supposed to follow the new moon and serve the Lord in the Sabbath. I don't fully understand it, but I just am so glad that we, even though we live today, and there's so many people trying a new way, is it not because they've tried the old way? Or maybe not, I don't know. But they've tried the organized way, and it's left them empty. But I'm thankful that if we get a full picture of who Jesus Christ is, and what he's done for us and what he will do for us, it doesn't matter where we would bow our knee. You know, there's a movement. I can take you to a church. I wouldn't do it, but I could. Up there at Rolla, that they believe that you ain't praying to Jesus unless you say Yahweh, and that he's not going to hear you unless you use that name, and it's a branch off of Jesus only. And we've got so many false religions out there. And why is it? Because it's a dark day. But if you look, you can still see the light. If you come to the tomb, you'll still see it's empty. If you go and you fall on your knees, you'll still hear his still small voice. Why? Because he left the tomb. Not because he didn't want to dwell in a tomb on this earth, but because that weren't his place. He left the tomb because he is the King of Kings and the Lord Lord of Lords, and he's got a throne to sit on, bless your heart, and he's going there, and he's interceding on behalf of me and your. You know, there's a lot of people today, a lot of preachers that try to put themselves, as it were, in the place of Christ, and intercede and to plead the case of man. But thanks be to God, that position's already taken. I don't have to figure it out. But Jesus Christ knows, and because he knows exactly what we need, not only does he intercede, but he communicates his will to us so many times. Listen to a man this week. But somebody called in and asked a question, and he began, as it were, to intercede and to try to explain, and his mind no doubt to explain the Scripture. But as we begin to listen, what he was doing was explaining away the Scripture. And why? Because I think he had placed himself in that position to where he felt that he needed to bring unity between man and between God, that he needed to find, as it were, some common ground where a proud man wouldn't have to bow, where a sinner wouldn't have to repent, where a wicked man wouldn't have to find righteousness. But I am thankful that that's not the ways of Christ. The ways of Christ is as simple as what he done there that glorious morning. When he come and he died and laid in that grave 3 days and rose again. Now that's a picture of what the Lord can do for us. He was the firstborn. He was the first resurrected. And he has promised that to me and you. Are you living in your sin? Are you living in your trespasses? Listen. Jesus Christ come so that you might experience a glorious sunrise. Though it might be dark this very hour, we can look to Jesus to find that he is the light and that he will shine in our heart and chase away the shadows. Let's get some song to sing. Do you know that the tomb is empty? I told my mama, I thought about that as we was driving down the road, and it brought tears to my eyes to greet everybody this morning and say, the tomb's empty. Well, I've never been, the furthest I've ever been is I passed the Holy Land flying over it. We went over to India. So I went beyond the Holy Land, but I've never been able to see that tomb where Jesus Christ was laid. But I know it's empty because he's living in my heart.
Amen.
I know it's empty because he is the Son of God. And I know it's empty because my life is so full. Though we might be facing dark times, glory be to God, we can let that light of Jesus Christ shine in our hearts. Go ahead. Isn't it sad that Mary Magdalene, she was the very first one, and she went to bear the news, not that Jesus Christ was raised from the grave, but that someone had stole him away. Aren't you glad that that's not the news that we know to be true? Listen to me. Maybe you've seen an empty tomb and you've been confused. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ rose from the grave so that he might be able to live in you, so that he can change your life. Oh, there's some people say, just believe on him and then go your merry way. Oh, but it ain't a merry way if you go your own. The only way to find joy is to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. The only way to escape from those broken hearted troubles in life that sin brings is to surrender to an almighty God. Amen. The tomb's empty because he wants to dwell in your heart today. Aren't you glad? That's enough.
Thank you for your attention. I'm so glad Jesus made room for me around the throne of God, that I was bought with a price that cost Him dearly, that He shed His blood at Calvary so that I might be able to shed who I am and find my love and joy and peace in Him. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I'm glad that Easter ain't about rabbits. It ain't about eggs. But it's about an empty tomb and a risen Lord. And though they might have took Him and abused Him and beat Him, placed crown thorn upon His head, they did not steal His body. But when He turned over His spirit to the Father, thanks be to God, God had a plan. And the devil and all of His children weren't going to keep from it. I was listening to that guard that was placed there, and a man went into the history of the Roman soldiers and the centurion and the guard and what those men were supposed to be able to withstand, and that there was no way on earth that any man could have slipped by them and rode that stone away. But when the angel of the Lord come, they had to do like everybody else has. They had to just fall as a dead man. They fell as a dead man because the dead man was alive.